Father Abraham had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all form pray right hand, left hand. Oh, never mind. Couldn't get any further. I didn't remember as much of it as I thought I did. Stephanie was back there trying to get me. I should have gotten Miss Stephanie up here. I have to laugh. Don has printed out his scripture here from Bible Gateway. Wonderful to have the internet as resources. But of course, on the page, they had to put an advertisement. So they had an advertisement here for something about feet. So I'm getting spam in the pulpit. It's kind of an amazing thing. It's a modern day. It's a modern time. And some of these modern issues, some of these are just amazing, aren't they? Some are not so new. Immigration is one of those. Immigration has been a theme since time immemorial. Strangers coming from far away and being gathered. Do not neglect to entertain strangers, for you may be entertaining angels unaware. That's what we read in our call to worship. Did you hear it? Did you read it? Did you understand what it was saying there? And I have a picture on my wall right above my computer at home, and it's the picture of Mary holding baby Jesus in Egypt. For they were sojourners at a point in time. They were those outcasts, those immigrants. The Bible lifts it up. We read Psalm 146, the Lord who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down, and the Lord watches over the strangers. This is right out of the Bible. This is talking to you about what kind of a God we have. I have heard other people say, well, then let God take care of them. Do you really think that's going to fly when you face the judgment and you face the boss? Our immigration system is broken. There is no question in anybody's mind. It's a mess. It's broken. It isn't working. At one point in time, about 15 years ago, they came up with a way to revamp the immigration system. I heard a full lecture on this, and I won't give you the full lecture, but the woman outlined all of the different issues and helped, and everyone was in agreement. It was a bipartisan thing in Congress. Everything was good, and then all of a sudden, politics got involved. And somebody began to use it as a political beating and a way to make people divisive and to pick sides. And so as a political football, it has gotten nowhere. And people are suffering as a result. I have to tell you that while it's being fought out in the courts and the laws and the politicians and the press, God will have us take care of those. That's us. That's our job. And it startled me at one point to realize as well that God has favorites. Are you aware of that? God has favorites. God favors the widow, the poor, the orphan, the outcasts. And we need to remember that. But don't feel left out because God loves the righteous. Psalm 146, God loves the righteous. As I was moving from Johnstown to Aurora, I was working with a crew of movers, and these young men with strong backs and bulging muscles and not even breaking a sweat when I was about to die. And I kept, you know, do you need water? Do you need bathroom? Whatever you need. And when we'd worked a good part of the day away, one of the men leaned over to me and he said, you know, we were moving a family a couple of weeks ago. The woman wouldn't even let us use her bathroom to go to the bathroom. Now, this is an all-white, non-ethnic, straightforward crew. I don't know what the deal was, but this is classism. And he knew where I was coming from enough to name it to me. And I felt a sense of shame. I thought, I want to apologize for her. But he told me because he knew that I had welcomed him. For that, I'm grateful. I was able to offer a little bit of the Lord's love of me to him in a moment. Well, think about that. Think about how some of those boundaries come and go. And here we are in the story about Lazarus. Lazarus and the rich man offering water, offering food. The food, he wanted to just eat the crumbs from the table of the rich man. Now, when I hear that, I always think of people like Bill Gates or Warren Buffett. You know, we're talking wealthy people, Elon Musk. Wealthy people, and how they're just, they're all about themselves and not about any others. And I have to pause. It says, admittedly, that Lazarus was dressed in purple and fine linen. Well, this isn't purple, is it? I don't see all colors, but I think this is pretty much just blue, isn't it? I do have some stuff that's purple, and that kind of unsettles me. It begs a question. Who is wealthy? I have a slide. Paya, would you bring up the slide there? Or Alina, whoever's running. There we go. Can you see it well enough? Now we can. There we go. Here's an African man. He's the rich man. He's rich. He might have as many as two goats. He's wealthy in his little village, isn't he? You know, that kind of stunned me. It kind of stunned me because I'm thinking about rich, wealthy beyond measure. That means I don't have to worry about things. But here's a man that within his group, within his small community, is wealthy in comparison. So what about us? Do you consider yourself wealthy? I have never considered myself wealthy, but I had to stop and pause the other day when my refrigerator went out. I told you about that. It was not cool. But I was able to go to the store and pay for it straight up. That's pretty wealthy, actually. Refrigerators are not cheap. Have you bought a refrigerator lately? That'll cost 3 or 4 cookies and a couple of candy bars. But what is wealthy in comparison? I saw a couple of teenagers driving a beat-up car. I live near the high school, and a couple of teenagers, and one wheel was, it was abnormal. It's flat on one edge, the bottom side there. And they went clunkety, clunkety, clunk, and they saw me working in my garage, and they drove over and pulled in front of my garage and stopped, and one of the kids leaned out and says, "Do you know how to change a tire?" I said, "Well, yeah, actually I do." And I didn't mind helping him. I thought it was kind of interesting. There was one boy and two girls, and the girls were pretty decked out. I could understand why they wouldn't want to be crawling around doing that, but I don't know what the boys' problem was. But in many respects, I mean, I rolled out a floor jack and I had pneumatic tools and the whole business, they, you know, it was like having a car shop right there. I guess I am kind of wealthy in that respect, aren't I? What about you? Are you wealthy? We've been eating shrimp. Melissa's got a thing for shrimp and crab lately. That's a sign of wealth, isn't it? To be eating and dining so sumptuously. So the rich man dies and he is in torment. Lazarus is at Abraham's bosom. And the rich man wants to warn his brothers. And he says, "Father Abraham, let me, you know, send somebody, tell them." And Abraham says, "The word is already out. That everybody knows. Those of us sitting in here have that scripture." That was, how many of you have heard that story for the first time? So we know it. And we understand, and we've heard that, and we understand that we are called to that. Just a drink of water. Send Lazarus that he might dip his finger in the water and come and put a drop of water on my tongue, for I'm in torment. Just a simple drink. Offering a drink of water, just a little bit of that. Now, we need to think about that a little bit as well, because in Jesus' time, you didn't drink the water. We are in a wealthy country. Our water coming out of the pipes is good water. We have scientists and machinery and systems in place to monitor the water to make sure it stays safe. Agreed, it has collapsed at times. Detroit was pumping out lead in there. There were some things that happened that go wrong. But your potable water out of your tap is drinkable. That's amazing. There are a lot of places in the world where that's not the case. And in Jesus' time, that was not the case. You drank wine. You didn't drink water. If you had water that was good to drink, that was pretty special, actually. So offering someone a drink was a little more than just getting a glass out of the tap. I have to tell you a funny story. Had a contractor that was working for us. He was cutting concrete with a concrete saw. And he was from down under. He was an Australian. Anyway, he was out there working right, big heavy equipment. It was a sunny day in the middle of summer, and he's working away. And the concrete foreman was there as well, and they were chatting it up and having a good time. And it was hot, so I trotted into the church, and I brought out a couple bottles of water, and I handed one to the concrete foreman. He said, "Oh, thanks." And he peels it, and he starts drinking. Handed one to the Australian, and he reached out, and he took it, and he looked at me. And he looked at the water, and he looked at me. He kind of nodded, and he set it down. I thought, that is not the reaction I expected at all. Didn't know what was going on with him. Later on, I saw that he had thrown the bottle over in the trash heap, not even opened. And he saw me looking, and he walked over to his truck, and he took out a carton of milk. And he drank a drink of milk, and he looked at me. And he drank another drink of milk, and looked at me, and nodded, and kind of held the milk up. I didn't ever get to flesh it out more than that. Is it not polite in Australia to offer water? Do they not trust water? Is milk the better choice, and I should have offered him milk? I don't know. Did I cross some barrier around our different, you know, economic or social backgrounds? I have no clue. Don't not offer them water anyway. I know that was a triple negative. Offer them water even if it might not be what they're expecting. But out of your kindness, something good will come, and that's okay. The Australian wasn't really offended at me that I could tell, and he did a great job. But to this day, I still haven't figured out. Any of you from Australia? Any Kiwis down here? Any New Zealanders or anything? Do we not? Yeah, put your hand down. We need to flesh that out if you know anybody and understand why we wouldn't offer them a glass or a bottle of water. I don't understand. We don't have to. And it isn't just a drink of water that we're offering. You know that. This is the beginning of saying, we will help take care of those who need. We will reach out. Puerto Rico has no potable water. There are elderly people, and for some reason, they are being put in some of the taller buildings on the island. There's no electricity, and they're on the 13th floor. They can't get water, and they can't get up and down the stairs to get food. This is a crisis for them. We take things for granted, and we shouldn't. We are the rich ones. Beware. Now, don't beat yourself up too badly. We do work at it, and we do a good job. Deb Gunther guides us in ways that we can help, because not all of us can just trot over and take water or food to somebody on the 13th floor of a tall building down in Puerto Rico. Just can't do it. Or Florida or Alaska that's been flooded out. But we can reach out in other ways, and you do that, and you're doing that, and we need to continue to do that. But make sure we do that day to day as well. Everyone we meet may need a drink of water. And it may not be water, but we can offer that. Christ calls us to do it. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels unaware. Amen.